But in the meantime, I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. To go back. And it is time to rewatch some of the great moments in Tennessee sports history. And we're going to ask you to hit play. You go to, over to TonyBasilio.com and you want to play along at home with us on this date as we lay this down. April the 7th of 2020. Find the blog. Find TGMD, the great Matt Dixon's submission of the day. We're going to go back to Tennessee versus Winthrop. Greg Marshall at Winthrop. A game played on the 16th of March, 2006. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is, make no mistake about it, a service of our T Club members, our terrific supporters who support the program. And if you want to jump in to keep great programming, and this will be a great show today, flowing, like this, jump in and support our efforts on the T Club. As I bring now in with us today to rewatch Tennessee and Winthrop, both Brian Hartman and Matt J. Dixon. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Ready to watch some hoops.
Let's roll.
Yo. And for those of you who are scoring along with our live version of this, for those of you scoring at home with our live version of this, if you would like to partake in our offering today, the phone lines will be available for you. If you have memories of this team, memories of this first season in particular with Bruce Pearl, I'll tell you how clueless I am, guys, as we think back to the beginning of the Bruce Pearl years, coming out of the Buzz Peterson time for the Tennessee newcomer who may not have been here back then, or the Tennessee fan who may not have remembered this point in time before we hit play. Just a few words. I can specifically remembering, it's how smart I am, asking Bruce Pearl. I said, "Bruce Pearl, huh?" I said, "You look Italian. Are you Italian?" He looked at me, Matt, like I had seven eyes. What do you make of me asking Bruce Pearl live on the floor over in Thompson Bowling Arena if he was Italian, Matt? Does that surprise you that I would do something like that?
It no, doesn't surprise me at all. And Pearl is kind of a showman. He probably took that in stride.
He could give you
a good soundbite.
He rolled with it. I said, "Man, you're a good looking dude." I said, "Are you Italian?" Stephen F. and Pearl, here's the thing I remember about that day. Stephen F. and Pearl was probably a college sophomore, a high school sophomore at the time, if memory serves me correctly. And Stephen F. and Pearl was out on the floor shooting hoops before the press conference. And I thought to myself, why is Jordan Howe out on the floor shooting baskets? And I specifically remember members of the Tennessee team teasing my man Jordan Howe about how he looked like, how that kid looked just like him. Of course, he added a little bit of weight and became a rather obnoxious figure in the history of Tennessee sports, but what do you guys specifically remember about Bruce Pearl when he came on Tennessee's radar? And in 5 seconds, I'm going to hit play. So, Brian, get your tape ready. Matt, get your tape ready. It should be cue to a baby right now. This baby is immortalized. Whoever uploaded this. And Matt, you say the first 5 minutes of this are kind of screwed up, yes?
Yeah, it's like the first 10, probably the first 10 minutes. So it's like a recording of a TV screen, and then it gets to normal, and it's a good picture. So, but that gives us plenty of time to set the stage and talk about what that season was like and how Tennessee got to be a 2 seed, which was the highest in school history at the time.
All right, let's hit, if we can, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to our rewatch party, ladies and gentlemen. Hit play. And there's a little baby there, beautiful little baby. And there are the Volunteers. And there's Winthrop. And the first thing that stands out is several CISA cheerleaders there. Winthrop coached by Greg Marshall. Before we get into this game, though, and that is kind of a jacked up picture here early on, but then it gets better as we go. But the early part, it looks like he had to fly in a picture of the screen. And so you're watching a picture of a picture inside of a picture. It gets better, though. Trust me when I say that. For those of you scoring at home with us, let's talk about the early recollections of Bruce Pearl. What do you guys remember about Bruce Pearl when he first came on Tennessee's radar before we talk about this game?
Well, he had taken Wisconsin-Milwaukee to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
I think they had upset Alabama, which Philip Fulmer pointed out to Pearl was very important to him. So he had just been a winner everywhere he had been. And he never had gotten a shot at the big time because of the deal with, Illinois back in the day. And he kind of got blackballed from the coaching community, but he was, you know, he brought a fun style. He was energetic, a showman. And I think a lot of people said he reminded them of Ray Mears a little bit, just kind of how he promoted the program.
He physically bore a description to Ray Mears when he first got the job. He looked a lot like Ray Mears in his early years, which was kind of interesting. If you have a recollection of Bruce Pearl when he came on Tennessee's radar, I'll give you mine. So when we get into coach firing season here, and Brian, that was frequently in basketball at that point in time. The program had floundered, so every 3 years you're hunting a coach. Every 4 years, you're hunting a coach. I remember watching his team. We were at Michael's doing our Pick 64 that we do annually. The late, great Michael's. And we were in there sequestered in the middle of a nice afternoon doing the program. And watching his ball club rip up whom, Bri? It was Alabama, wasn't it?
Yeah, they made the. I think did they make the Sweet 16 that year?
They did,
and they beat Alabama first.
I was,
and I can't remember who they got in the second round.
I was so completely excited at that point. But then something happened to me when he got hired. I started hearing all these reports of how good they looked in practice and how different they were going to be and how different it was all going to be. Again, hang in here with the first 5 minutes of this. Those of you who hadn't seen this video, it gets a lot better. But for right now, it's a hot mess. Like right now, this thing's a hot mess. It's all jacked up.
6-2 Tennessee early.
But the Vols are up 6-2. They look good. Let's talk about the season before we get into this game, because this game is significant. The season that year starts out with, correct me if I'm wrong, Tennessee open with East Tennessee State?
That's right.
Bruce Pearl did a really classy thing. He had his kids greeting. They were greeting patrons. Imagine that now, guys, in the COVID days. But a Friday night, November 18th, Tennessee opened with East Tennessee State as they began the regular season, a 106-83 win over Murray Bartow, and they were greeting people on their way out. This guy, an absolute showman here early on. What do you remember, Matt, your first recollections of seeing the ball club?
They were fun to watch. They played really up-tempo, that full-court press with the trap. We had never seen anything like that before, and you know, we had a Chris Lofton who would shoot it from anywhere across half court and make most of them. It was just a really fun style, and I think they scored over 100 points in that first game, so there was a little bit of excitement.
A 106-83 win. The team went on and they played a Louisiana team out of the Sun Belt. They beat them 83-76, so the Vols are all of a sudden gaudy in scoring some points. Then they beat Eastern Kentucky out of the OVC, 92-58. Then they beat the Murray State Erasers. And this, by the way, this is a schedule basically they inherited from Buzz Peterson. They spiced it up a little bit, but this is a schedule they inherited essentially from Buzz Peterson. And Tony Jones during those days was really a terrific scheduler when it came to the hoops program, and he was a master of that. But for early on, people were excited to see this pressing style. I think we all kind of knew we have the pieces to be intriguing with the style of play this guy wants to play. Let me ask you this. At the time that Pearl was hired, do you guys remember who the other candidates were that were considered, or was he the only candidate? Because I don't
remember. Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight. Wow. Tennessee.
First media timeout, 8-4 Vols.
Tennessee goes on to defeat Murray State 64-53. They beat Appy State. They're making their way through the Buzz Peterson schedule. Now they're 5-0. The first real glimpse that we had that this season was going to be and had a potential to be special was, ironically enough, was a Saturday afternoon start, and I remember this so vividly. I remember where I was. I remember what I was doing. I remember how blown my mind was when they jumped out there. They went to Texas, and I mean, there. And I remember commenting on the air the next day or the next Monday, because it was a Saturday, December 17th game. It was Christmas season. Texas was a mighty basketball team. They were ranked number 6 in America that year. Tennessee went down there and literally whipped and beat the hell out of them and made them like it. Guys, I don't know about you. At that point, I'm saying to myself, what do we have here?
Yeah, that game was a whole lot of fun. And Texas, I think we just caught them at the perfect time. They had one or two guys injured, and they were just coming off a loss to number one Duke, when I think Texas was ranked number 2, and Duke beat them by like 30-something. I think it was the worst loss Rick Barnes ever had at Texas. And then that next game was, this Tennessee team, who's been an NIT bubble team for 4 years, comes down there and just smokes them, and is just making shots left and right. It was a whole lot of fun. And that's really when it kind of became real to a lot of fans, and they started noticing.
That was a Texas team, by the way, that featured P.J. Tucker, who played in the NBA for several years, LaMarcus Aldridge, who was an NBA player for several years, Daniel Gibson, who played in the NBA as well. They had a pretty damn good roster.
They went to the Elite Eight.
And ended up going to the Elite Eight that season. Thank you for reminding me of that. So that was a team. And they were stacked with high school All-Americans. Brad Buckman was a high school All-American. Daniel Gibson was a high school All-American. Mike Williams was a high school All-American. LaMarcus Aldridge was a high school All-American for that Texas team. So kind of an incredible result. So Tennessee that day goes into Texas, beats them 95-78, essentially ripped them apart. Then Tennessee loses on a neutral site to Oklahoma State, and then they rattle off a bunch of wins after losing. They don't suffer their next loss.
There's the good picture.
Until January 14, and now we're back underway. So let's talk about, before we get through the season, this NCAA tournament. Tennessee's playing a Winthrop team. Tennessee, this season, I think is overseeded, guys. When you end up looking at their resume, I remember being at Calhoun's on the River. We had a draw party. Bri, were you there at our draw party that Sunday night at Calhoun's on the River?
I don't think so.
There was about 30 of us. We were in the bar area. And we were watching the seedings come down. And we couldn't believe. We kept seeing the names pop up. And we were like, are we in the tournament? They took them a while to get to us. And when they did, we couldn't. We were like, where did you guys think we'd be seated coming into that Sunday?
I thought they were at best going to be a four seed.
Matt?
Oh, yeah, they were four or five. They had lost four of their last six. And they were, I think they were a fringe top 20 team in the final rankings. The highest they'd been all year, they were 8-1 week, which would be kind of the equivalent of a two seed. So they were overseeded by at least two lines and probably three.
Yeah, they had seven losses.
This game right now is 12-12. And what's interesting about watching this Tennessee team play here, this Winthrop Ball Club, is Matt, you had made the case as we were in a pre-production meeting leading up to today's recording of the Tennessee Rewatch Party. It's the second one we've recorded. In our pre-production meeting, you had made a case that you feel like this was kind of an NCAA setup. Now, Jerry Palm doesn't want to, he doesn't, my friend at CBS Sports doesn't like this, but this is kind of a made-for-TV deal. I think Winthrop, when you watch this game play out, and we'll make this case because we're going to look at Winthrop's resume this year, they are way underseeded as a 15. They're way better than a 15.
Hey, Tone, call Stanley real quick.
All right. We're going to get Stanley Asumnu on the line. Matt, your thoughts on where they're seated?
I think Winthrop was probably should have been maybe a 13 or 14. But these kind of things happen in the tournament because you have these programs like Winthrop who don't really have a lot of opportunities to showcase how good they are against, high major teams. And they've also got Greg Marshall as their coach, who we all know has done great things at Wichita State. One thing he did in this game was Tennessee got out to an early lead and then they took Lofton out and Winthrop went to a zone immediately. And now they have, they've kind of shut Tennessee down for a little bit. And now they have the lead. Greg Marshall was a great coach in this game.
Yes.
He did a lot of things well. And, he eventually got the Wichita State job, which I think it was probably this game right here is what got him that job because Wichita State played the winner of this game.
And against the backdrop of this deal, okay? Against the backdrop of this deal, which is kind of interesting. Now, that is, you're right, because we took a bus trip over to see the Wichita State game that year in the NCAA tournament. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I got a couple of great stories from that game, but, and we'll grab Stanley here momentarily, Stanley Asumnu. Matt, I think you're right. I think this thing was a setup, Matt. I think this deal here was an absolute set up by them to feed us to the wolves. I think this, that's a really good thought by you.
Typewriting sort of covers our basket up. It's hard to see that the made baskets, which is frustrating.
The typewriting, what do you mean?
I'm getting like a text on my feed here.
You can turn the closed captioning off.
Yeah, on Periscope, you turn closed captioning off.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what I have that option.
Now let me do this for you, Bri. Are you on a phone or a computer?
I'm on a phone.
Okay, so go down to where you see the three buttons going across, and hit that, and go into theater mode. And if you go into theater mode, you'll be able to watch along and score along at home. This Winthrop team was way underseeded. Let's grab Stanley Assumno. I'm going to call him here momentarily, and we'll just dial him up, and we'll make this thing happen. And, Bri, I appreciate you reaching out to them. Let's see here.
Andre Patterson's got 8 of Tennessee's first 17 points. He's had a nice start. Winthrop's still up by one here midway through the first half. So
this will be a really great catch me up as we watch a little bit of this Winthrop game with Stanley Assumno. Let's see. Love Stanley.
And Stanley just into the game in perfect timing.
All right.
Hello?
Bow your head when you say thy name, the great Stanley Assumno. You're live with us on our podcast. Tony Basilio at your service. How you been, my friend?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Hey, Stanley, where you living these days, man?
Well,
Stanley just scored.
I'm living in Mission, Texas. But right now I'm in Houston, Texas, right now with my family, my parents and everybody due to the coronavirus. So
wow.
I'm over here.
God bless you, man. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah. Be safe. And as we record this edition today, it is during the coronavirus situation. Stanley, you just got inserted into the game against Winthrop, and you scored. And I appreciate you coming into our watch party. And we today are watching along with people on Periscope and YouTube Live all over the world. And also people are listening to us wherever they're listening to us. And I appreciate you coming on with us to share some recollections about this year. What do you remember about Pearl getting the gig and just the impact? What were your earliest recollections of Pearl and interactions with him? What did you think?
Well, first off, you know, just knowing the fact that, you know, Bruce Pearl was going to be our coach, you know, didn't know a whole lot, but just hearing from, you know, other people about him and just kind of just looking back at places he's been and what he's done and seeing what, you know, what he did at, you know, UW-Milwaukee and stuff like that. And just his energy and his excitement for the game and his passion for the game was something that I saw right away. And it was one of those things where, you know, he was very intense, but, you know, it was he's an awesome coach and awesome person just to talk to even outside of just basketball. He was like a player's coach, and we all respected him. And it was a great opportunity for us to, you know, go under his wings.
A couple guys have told me stories about playing for him versus, you know, the previous regime, and they said it was like a night and day difference. As we watch Tennessee and Winthrop, the Vols up 21-18 right now, 8 minutes to go in the half, a 15-versus-2 matchup. Winthrop was way underseeded in this game. They're better than a 15 seed. They had a nice ball club, and I'll get to that, Stanley, here in a second with you. But about Pearl, I was told by one gentleman, and I want to say, Stanley, that it was, as Lawson just hit a three ball, I want to say that it was Jordan Howell.
Assumed it with the assist.
Thank you. I was told that Jordan Howell told me one time about him. We were sitting around and we were talking about Pearl. And he said,
yes,
one of the first things he said to us is, just get me, you guys play 35 minutes. Get us to the five-minute mark and I'll get you home. If you can get me to the five-minute mark, I'll get us home. He said, and you know, you hear a coach when you're first playing for a coach say that, and you're like, well, I mean, really? He said, but then, sure enough, we would do it, and we just really gained confidence in him. He gained confidence in us, and it became like a stone rolling down the hill. Did you get that sense as well? Do you remember when Pearl would say stuff like that to you guys?
Oh, yes, man. Yeah, most definitely. You know, he was the type where, you know, obviously, you know, because of his coaching pedigree and the experience that he's been through over the, you know, his coaching career, you know, he's one of those guys that obviously he knows his X's and O's, and he knows which buttons to push to motivate you to be the best that you can be. And, you know, he also instills that confidence in you where you feel like, you know, you belong. And he's just, it was one of those things where, yeah, I can remember him saying things like that where it just, you know, let us know, like, I mean, he's behind us, you know, 100%. We just got to do our part and he'll do his part. And at the end of the day, you know, it turned out to be a great season for us.
And we're rewatching this thing. Give me a couple of high points. One of the things we were talking about is a real credibility game for you guys was that game at Texas, December 17th. The season's like 5 games old. You guys have beaten the teams on your schedule, probably that you were supposed to beat. What do you remember about that Texas game, Stanley?
The Texas, oh man, it was an exciting game. Very good ball club. I mean, that, you know, real well coached by, you know, Rick Barnes, and it was a good, for me, it was a good experience for me. Just obviously a chance for me to get back home. Obviously I'm from Houston, but just to even go back down to Texas and play, you know, down there, growing up and, you know, going to camps and things, and also being recruited by Rick Barnes, you know, around that time. It was an awesome game, a great game that we, you know, we banded together and we got it done. It was a very exciting game too, as far as, for my teammates. It was exciting for me just being opportunity to be, you know, a ball club that was well respected as well.
Matt or Brian, do you guys have anything for Stanley Assumna? Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Is it weird watching Rick Barnes coaching Tennessee against Auburn and coached by Bruce Pearl now?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It was weird seeing just how that all transpired. How, you know, Coach Pearl is over at Auburn. You know, Rick Barnes from Texas, you know, a long time here, and now he's over there in Tennessee, and but you know those guys are really, really great coaches, well respected. They know what they're doing. Obviously, you can see what they do with programs. They're able to help programs continue to either, you know, turn programs around or even maintain them at a high level. And you know, that comes from who they are as people. You know, just being able to impact, you know, us as, you know, young men at that time, and just trying to, you know, learn and grow the game and learn as much as we can under those great coaches.
Stanley, what else stood out to you? The Texas game, obviously, for you, and leading into that one, are you thinking, man, we're about to get killed? Because they're 7 in America. They have 3 NBA players, and you guys have a nice team. I mean, but they had 3 NBA players on their team, and you didn't know what you guys had yet.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we were figuring ourselves out. Of course, you know, like any other college kid, you know, we're going to watch ESPN. We're going to look at the rankings. We're going to look at what we're going up against. But, I mean, we were prepared. I mean, the thing is, Bruce Pearl, you know, prepared us for moments like that one, playing at the University of Texas. And just the way that he is and the way he motivates us and the way he pushes us in practice, I mean, we've been in tough situations in practice. So, of course, you know, when you simulate the tough situations in practice, they simulate over into the games. I just felt like the preparation was there. I mean, obviously, we're going up against a great ball club, you know, but at the same time, we were just figuring out who we are as individuals. You know, obviously, like you said, it was night and day going from, you know, one style of play to another style of play, 2 different coaches. Both coaches are great guys, but just the situations and things that we did were a lot different.
Hey, Matt, jump in here as Stanley Assumna joins. It's 30-24 in this game with Winthrop. Tennessee is winning by 6. Winthrop is extremely pesky, and it looks like they're going to hang around in this basketball game. As we take you back to the first round, the Vols, a two seed, and we'll get to that here in a little bit with Stanley, because that was mind-boggling when that popped up and they were on the two line. But Dixon, jump in here with Stanley.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. I wish we could say we planned this, but as soon as Stanley came on the phone, he also checked into the game, and Tennessee went on a 9-0 run. And Stanley had a couple of hustle plays and a couple of assists, so it was perfect timing by you, Tony, accidentally. But Stanley, we're talking about Barnes and Pearl, and even that first game where you guys went down there and just kind of shot lights out and beat them, and even the games that Pearl and Barnes coached even last year, both coaches still run the same kind of offense. They still have the same kind of style. What is it about Pearl's defense and that kind of on-ball pressure that really bothers Rick Barnes' offense? Could you just kind of talk about what that defense was like and why it was so successful?
Well, with Bruce Pearl, it was very simple with him. When he came in, he would tell us, like, look, guys, I want you to give, 100% on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, he gave us a style of what we needed to do offensively. Like, if you're a guy that can shoot threes, you're a guy that can attack the basket, you're a guy that can finish at the rim, whatever that might be, whatever your skill set or whatever you bring to the table offensively. The whole mindset was defensively, if you buy into what we need to do defensively, you're going to see how much excitement we're going to generate and how fun the game will be, because the ball will be moving offensively because of the transition and then the defensive stops that lead to breakouts and just constant pressure of just speeding up the game. And that was the thing, being able to speed up our opponents to make them play faster than what they wanted to play. And I think he's done a good job with everywhere he's been. I mean, obviously it comes with the players that he recruits and the players that are already, like, for instance, we were already there.
Yeah.
There's a style of play that he brought in that he was already doing at all these other schools before, but it was a fun style that allowed us to get up in the open floor, pressure, play defense, and just kind of like control chaos, if you want to say it like that. Control chaos at the same time. We're just getting after it defensively, and it was a mindset of just being tougher than the other team.
Stanley, you're having a hell of a game. You're having a hell of a game here in this game. So walk me through that season's unfolding. You guys are obviously gaining confidence. You're beating people. You're having tremendous success. Give me a couple highlights of that year from this team. Just memories that you carry with you in the life.
Well, one of the things for sure that carries with me everywhere I go, even till today, is just the passion and the drive and the determination that was brought in, the way Coach Pearl wanted us to play, and just us as teammates, just whether you started, you didn't start, whether you came off the bench and then you started and then whatever. At the end of the day, it was about winning. It was about winning. And that was the ultimate goal, was about winning. And, a lot of us had played different roles, whether we started, then we didn't start, then we came off the bench. At that point, it was more of just about the team's success and just doing what we can do to help the team be successful. And if each individual person can just do their part, then we'll be successful as a team. So, I mean, that carries with me, everywhere I go, is just, trusting the process. Trusting the situation and the task that's at hand, and just all you can control is what you can control. And if you do your part at the end of the day, as long as you're doing your part, that's all that matters.
It's 34-31 this game with Winthrop. So you guys get through that season. Walk me through Selection Sunday, because you hadn't played in the NCAA tournament as a veteran player. And you're sitting there thinking what going into Selection Sunday? What was the number they were telling you guys were going to be by your name?
Well, we were, obviously, I mean, everybody would love to be a one seed, You would love to be a one seed and represent, the region that you come out of. But for us, I mean, we knew we were going to be in that top, at least the top, four or five seeds. You know what I mean? We knew that. And so being a two seed, you know, first time and first experience through this tournament, for me and my teammates, I know it was a great experience, a great time for us because we knew how much and what we put in to, you know, have a successful season. Of course, you know, we would have loved to go further than the second round, but my thing was we definitely, you know, remembered and everything that we put into it, you know, we got out of it. So, I mean, it was an unbelievable just to be a number two seed, I mean, in the tournament, to be selected, to be in the tournament, you know, when teams don't get selected. I mean, just being a part of it was a great experience. I'm glad I had a chance to be a part of it.
And these guys, you're sitting there with your team. Describe what that was like, what you remember about that day.
It was real, you know, it was exciting, but we were more, you know, just on edge, just, you know, wondering, you know, where we're going to be, what region we're going, what number we selected. It was one of those things where it was a great time, you know, with us as teammates just being together and just enjoying the moment with our, you know, coaching staff and the families and, you know, just all the people who support, you know, Tennessee basketball. I mean, it was a great experience and a great opportunity to be a part of it.
You know, it must have been insane that year. We're watching this game because I know a bunch of people. Like, we took a bus trip over to see the Wichita State game on that Saturday. And and there was a ton of Tennessee fans there. It must have been really something to kind of be, you know, go from the kind of the Buzz Peterson years where, I mean, you had good fan support to all of a sudden becoming the place to be, the toast of the town. And it almost happened like overnight. What was that experience like for a player to be in the middle of that?
Oh, man, it was a great experience. You know, I thank the coaches and the coaching staff that we had, you know, the team, my teammates, you know, just being a part of a great group of guys who, you know, we cared for one another. We wanted the best for each other. It was a great experience of seeing just, you know, coming in from, you know, my freshman year and then seeing how things, my sophomore year. And then as you progress and move on and, you know, to get to your senior year, you just see the progression of what's happening, you know, with the team. So it was good opportunity for us. And I mean, the city, the whole town of Knoxville was on our side. We had support. I mean, we had fans, you know, everywhere we went, it was good. It was great to see the support.
Hey, Matt and Brian, in true Tennessee fashion, we're like really struggling with this 15 seed. I'm worried they're going to beat us. Winthrop, a 15 seed, Tennessee, a 2 seed. It's 36-34 at halftime. And despite the fact that Tennessee's had a couple real nice runs, this Winthrop team just continues to make plays and kind of stay in the game. And give me some observations here, Matt and Brian, on the first half. And let's hear what Stanley thinks the first half of this Winthrop game, which is 36-34, 5 seconds now, with a stoppage of play to play in the first half. Brian, what stood out to you first half so far?
Winthrop wants to ugly the game up. Tennessee wants to play a little bit faster, and I think the Vols, when they went on their run, sort of had the tempo in their favor, but Winthrop slowed it down, and it's a close game at the half. And I remember the colors on the court is the ugliest combo still I've ever seen.
Matt? I'm having a choke moment here, Matt. My Google Chrome is not responding for some reason. This is not happening to me. Continue.
Well, it's funny. The refs are actually going to the monitor, so you're not missing anything. But you know, Tennessee had built like a 5 or 6 point lead, and then C.J. Watson picked up his third foul on an awful call, by the way, and Tennessee didn't score the rest of the half. And Winthrop had cut it to two here. But, you know, right, everybody knew this was going to be a tight game. A lot of people had kind of picked Winthrop in the upset. That was kind of a trendy pick that year.
All right, maybe,
But Tennessee came out and did well and kind of responded. And it was a really good chess match between the coaches. coming out of each timeout. They each have a little wrinkle here or there, and but it's a really well played basketball game, and it's a, both teams are playing their kind of own style, and they kind of clash a little bit. So when they play faster, you know, it favors Tennessee, and Lofton's made some shots early, and Tennessee's forced a lot of turnovers.
Stanley, what do you remember about the first half of that game? Because it feels like, you know, you guys hadn't been there. It feels like you guys are trying to pull a boulder up a mountain. And what I'm going to do for the listener is I'm going to get this thing to halftime, and then we're going to hit play on the start of the second half. I'm going to go right to the end of the halftime. We're going to skip now the teams are out on the floor, and I'll let you know. As soon as the halftime ball is about to be put in play, we'll hit play from there as a radio family. The score is 36-34. Stanley, it feels like you guys are trying to take a boulder up a hill here watching this game back.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, it's the first, you know, NCAA tournament for us. So we're, you know, we're trying to, you know, obviously get accustomed to, you know, the game, the
yeah.
game play, the style play. Winthrop is actually, you know, I mean, they're a good team, a good ball club.
Yes.
Like you said, very well coached as well. And, you know, they weren't, you know, like you said, that number, I don't even think of 15th seed, I mean, really serves them justice. I think they're, you know, better than a 15th seed. But I feel like they came in, they're of course, like this is a, they want to win just as much as we want to win.
Yep.
They're making shots. They hit a couple threes early. You know, we're playing, you know, like you said, TJ Watson gets in foul trouble, but you know, we're trying to get in the flow of the game, and we're
yes.
trying to, you know, find our way through this game, as, you know, it's a different style of play that we're going up against.
And let this be said, Stanley, you guys are playing Thursday afternoon. At that point, I remember being on the air. You guys are playing right off the jump in the afternoon session. So you don't have any time to kind of get your wits about you. And what they're showing a graphic here right now as they get ready to go, and I've paused it here, and then I'll tell everybody when to hit play. But get right to where they're about to put the ball back in play, those that are scoring along at home. But there were four occasions, Richmond over Syracuse in 91, Santa Clara over Arizona in 93, Coppin State over South Carolina in 97, and then in 01, Hampton beat Iowa State. There were four occasions where we saw teams, 15 seeds beat 2 seeds. So it had happened coming into this deal. It hadn't happened in several years. The ball's about ready to get be put back in play. Are you guys thinking, man, we're in a damn dogfight? We're in some trouble here. Are you thinking that at all at this point, or no?
No, we're in a dogfight, but we're still confident in what we can do. We're confident in our skills and our ability and what we've learned over the course of, you know, the season. But at the end of the day, when you're in the NCAA tournament, every game they're going to be dogfights. They're going to be tough games. There's going to be lower seed teams are going to come out, and they're going to, you know, give you their best punch, and it's our job to find our way to get that W, you know. And, you know, whether you win by 10, you win by 1, at the end of the day, a win is a win, and, you know, we're just trying to find our way through this game as the game is going through.
All right, so they show Greg Marshall here. I'm getting ready to hit pause on my tape, and then we'll start it again at home. They're showing Pearl there. It's a young boy. Look how young Shea is. Good gosh, those guys. Pearl looks so freaking young there. Pearl, that's Pearl about 40 pounds to go. They're getting ready to put the ball in play here, and away we go. Hit go. And here we are. We're underway. Second half of the game. Now, Stanley, at this point in the game, tell me about some of the players on this team. I'm watching Chris Lofton. One of the things I appreciate about Lofton, watching him on tape here, is how, and I want Matt and Bri to comment on this, is he wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but, man, he had a way of using his body to get his shots. He created space out there. He's a real smart player, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah, very smart. Like you said, not the fastest player in the world, but, I mean, very smart with his movements, You know, obviously, his three-point shooting ability was unbelievable. So I think that helped him out a lot, too, just being able to shoot the ball so well at a high clip. I mean, the best three-point shooter to come out of Tennessee history. I mean, he's a guy that is a smart player. He understands his body. He understands, you know, what he can do as a player. So that's what helped him. He understood what his limitations were, and he stuck to that. You know what I mean? So I mean, he's a great teammate, a great player. Glad I had an opportunity to play with him and get to know him as an individual. And, you know, an awesome guy that put on that Tennessee uniform.
Matt, when you rewatch Lofton in a game like this, what sticks out to you?
Well, we all know how great of a shooter he was, but he was a really good defender. And just watching him, he extended offenses back. He got a lot of steals throughout his career. You know, he was a kind of a sneaky defender because, you know, one of the knocks on him was he wasn't uber athletic, but you know, he made up for it, and he had kind of that fadeaway shot where he could get his shot off contested. I mean, he's still to this day the best contested shooter I've ever seen. And you know, it's funny watching him now. There's a whole lot of Santiago Vescovi in Lofton's game. You know, both of them are kind of a step or two slow, but they're really smart players. Vescovi's a better ball handler at this point, but that would develop in Lofton's game the next couple of years. But you know, Lofton was just a special player and just unbelievable to have here, and he was kind of the perfect fit for Pearl's system.
Stanley, Andre Patterson, what do you remember about him? He's 6-7 in this game to this point for 12 points. And out of a set, you guys just got him loose, and he flashed low for an easy layup. What do you remember about playing with Andre Patterson, who I believe transferred in from UCLA, didn't he?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he came from UCLA. You know, athletic kid, very bouncy around the rim. You know, he had some good post moves down low as well. He's a good rebounder. You know, had some toughness about him. You know, played over at UCLA. You know, and he was one of those guys that, you know, came in and he helped out as well when he came in. And, you know, obviously, you know, it was great to play with him for those years he came.
Other guys on this team, just kind of watching the film here, I'm watching a real there's so many great athletes on this team. C.J. Watson. And the chance to see him get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. Of course, he went on and had a real nice NBA career. But what did you make of C.J. Watson and seeing him flourish this season?
Man, C.J., like I said, we're really good friends. You know, built a good relationship with one another before coming to Tennessee. He was an excellent point guard for us. I mean, offensively, defensively, you know, he was always a leader, led by, you know, example. Obviously, wasn't like, you know, he was vocal, but it wasn't the loudest guy in the room that's going to be, you know, yelling and screaming at people, but led by example. He was very a tough point guard. Very smart as well, smart guy, studied the game well. And he was a terrific point guard for us, and he had an awesome career and a great year for us that year as well.
A couple other guys on this team. What about Major Wingate, who I'm seeing in the ball game, kind of a free-spirited dude. What do you remember about him?
Yeah, Major Wingate, free-spirited. That's a good little thing for him. He was obviously very talented coming out of high school, you know, very promising. I mean, he was for a five man to be very skilled, you know, can handle the ball, can shoot the ball.
Yes.
You know, he's athletic. I mean, he was a skilled big man, you know, I'm glad, you know, he came and we got a chance to, you know, play for, with us and, you know, very good rebounder, you know, he works hard down low, gets good position. Just a tough kid also, he was, some great memories with him as well.
So we're early in the second half here, fellas. Tennessee's winning 45-41, 16 minutes to go, and they bomb in a three ball. I mean, Matt Winthrop's not going anywhere here. Once Tennessee makes a few plays, puts a little space between them and Winthrop, Winthrop had some veteran leadership on this ball club. They won a lot of games. And Matt kind of thinks, Stanley, that the NCAA was sort of setting you guys up for one of these 15-2 upset Cook deals where they maybe overseed you guys a slot or two. Like you were saying, this Tennessee team could have been like a 3 or 4. And then Winthrop easily could have been like a 13 seed in that tournament. Mm-hmm. They were very good.
Yes. Yeah, no, they were very good. Very competitive. Like I said, well-coached. Good ball club. And, you know, they tried to pressure a little bit, too. And they tried to, you know, change up their defenses on us. Try to, you know, get us guessing. But, you know... It was an exciting game. I mean, NCAA tournament is full of excitement. You never know. I mean, any given day, anybody can go down and anybody can win. So, but Winthrop, yeah, they weren't going away. They were confident in themselves and what they could do. Obviously, we could have done some things a little bit better. We kind of let them hang around a little bit.
Yeah.
And kind of, I think we gave them some confidence.
Yes.
There that if by letting them hang around. They felt that, oh man, we can compete with us. So I mean, and not to discredit anything about them, but obviously if we needed to, you know, we would have stepped our game up a little bit more and a little bit more focused and doing the things that we need to do. I mean, it would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, we're at the first TV timeout in the second half, and they're beating you 46-45, and that's not good. After we just had a 4-point lead, so they went on a 5-0 run. And all of a sudden,
Watson picked up his fourth foul.
Whoa! Watson's got his fourth foul with
16 minutes left.
What the hell? I don't remember this. So they had, you guys had to get home. Do you remember that, Stanley? You had to get home with Watson with four fouls?
Yeah, he was on the, bench for a while before he came back in that second half.
So who does the point guard role fall to at that point? Uh-oh, I see Jordan Howell in the game. Oh my gosh.
Jordan Howell.
Oh, no, look at him.
Of course, you had Dame Bradshaw who could play point, too.
We're in trouble. We got Jordan Howell at point guard, Stanley. We're in trouble.
it was by committee at that point. You know what I mean? I don't think it was going to be all on Jordan Howell. It was just going to be more, you know, Dame could help out a little bit, you know, Juwan. Depending on the Chris, anybody, any guy, because we moved the ball so much. I mean, you know, it was more of just.
Watch this three Juwan hits in a second.
Juwan's fixing to tee up a three ball, which
we steal 3 points.
The funny thing about Juwan Smith is he here's a guy with a walk on. He kind of had this like cold blooded killer thing about his game, didn't he, Stanley?
Yes.
He banked in a three ball. Stanley, he banked in like a 30 footer.
You know, Juwan Smith is, another player, great player that we had with our group. I mean, like you said, a walk-on. I mean, he probably could have, you know, maybe have gone somewhere else with the scholarship, but obviously he really, really wanted to be here in Tennessee, you know, and play for the Vols. So, I mean, but obviously when he got here, you could tell that he was very, we knew that he could play, you know, it was just, a matter of just, you know, letting him find his role and finding where he fits in with the group. And obviously, you know, our coaching staff did a great job with him as well, you know. So, you know, it was a fun group of guys to be around and to play with. You know, that's one thing we will always take with us for the rest of our lives is just, you know, being a part of, you know, a great team like that.
And it was so that season, I think anytime, Stanley, you're the part of something that relaunches, I mean, you guys really are responsible for what we see now with Tennessee basketball. You were part of the reset. Do you look at it that way?
Yes. Yeah, no, I truly believe that we were, our group was the group that got Tennessee, you know, I would just say put Tennessee back on the map. And from that point, it just continued, you know, with the next guys that would come into the program. It was now, you know, we were building that program to be what it is, you know, well-respected, tough around the country, and just getting respect from everyone that, you know, Tennessee basketball belongs. So, you know, it was great to be a part of that, you know, and to do that with the guys that I played with and the coaching staff that I had at that time. I mean, it was a great experience and a great opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you what, this freaking Greg Marshall guy from Winthrop is really annoying. Goodness gracious. This game right now is 50-49. Vols have a one-point lead. They just called an absolutely, Matt, that's a horrendous call. They just called on Winthrop. Yes?
This happened like three times in this game, and they changed the rule after this year, but Bruce Pearl called a timeout, you know, on the other end of the court.
I see.
And nobody else heard it except the guys on that side. So that's why Winthrop was so upset, is they thought they forced a turnover. And I think they changed the rule to where only a player on the court can call a foul when the ball kind of gets in play there when they're throwing it in. But that happened like two or three times in this game. But Greg Marshall was going berserk. But, you know, right now Tennessee's out there with, you know, Watson's not out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Tennessee's having trouble getting shots. And Winthrop scoring in transition and making plays. And, you know, this was a Winthrop team that had more tournament experience than Tennessee because they had, you know, won their league the year before and lost to Gonzaga in a close game.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys knew this. When you looked at them on film, Stanley, was it a deal where, oh, it's 15-2, we're blowing them out? Or did you look at them on film and go, these freaking guys can play?
Oh, no. We respected them. We didn't look at it as a 15-2 matchup. We looked at it as this is going to be a ball game where, you know, obviously we're going to have to come out and play Tennessee basketball. And, you know, obviously it's our first NCAA tournament, you know, with our group. And just obviously, I mean, everything that is going on right now, I mean, you know, it shows. I mean, obviously, like you said, the year before that, they won their league and they were, you know, played a close game and lost to Gonzaga. But for us, you know, here it's year two for them and we're in year one in our opportunity against them. And, obviously, like I said, they're ready to go.
How about my man Stanley Assumnu with the steal, and then do you make the layup, Stanley, at the other end or no? Tell me with 11:40 left.
11:40.
Do you remember?
I think I made it.
I think
the funny thing, he got his steal. He gets another steal.
There's another one, Stanley. You're the damn man, dude. And that's two in a row. And you're pissed. You're fired up.
I know that.
Wow.
That 4-0 run for Stanley there puts Tennessee back in the lead, 54-51.
I thought Chris Lofton was like the human run on your team. Here you are. But this is the point about your basketball team that year. Is, and Lofton gives up a basket at the other end. Good gosh. Here's the thing about your, about you guys is that this team you're playing is really tough and they're working really hard, but you're matching them. Your level of effort from your basketball team right now, you're matching these guys.
Yes. Our effort and our energy level was there. Like you said, defensively, that's Coach Pearl would always get on us about. Give 100% on the defensive side of the ball. You might make a mistake offensively. You might do, but you wanted us to be locked in and focused on this defensive side of the ball and make sure that we give extreme 100% effort. And, I mean, that's why I trickled amongst everyone. I mean, as you can see, you know, we're always moving, we're switching, we're talking, we're communicating, you know, obviously just, you know, different schemes and different styles that he had us playing, you know, but it was more of a thing of us being all on the same page.
It's remarkable to look back at this basketball game and see that with 16 minutes to go in the game, Tennessee's point guard C.J. Watson is on the bench. There's 10:45 to go. It's a 54-53 game. Stanley just had basically a four-point run himself with two quick steals. Now Winthrop just converts from the foul line. We're deadlocked at 54. I mean, this game is a hell of a game. This thing's being played at a high level with both teams, and it's a hell of a game, man. This is a great college basketball game.
Yes, it was a great game to be a part of. You know, and we had to dig deep and, you know, find a way to get it done. But, you know, obviously for us it was, I mean, Winthrop is a respected ball club. They're, like you said, they're well coached. They came ready to play. They weren't afraid, you know, of playing, okay, we're number two. That's not how they view this game. They came in with the thought, we've already been, you know, in the NCAA tournament before. You know, this is Tennessee. This is their first time. You know what I mean? I'm thinking that's probably what's going through in their mind, you know, when they're playing this game.
Yes.
For us, you know, we're just thinking like, hey, you know, we've been playing all year long. We've done a great job all year long. And let's continue and find a way to get it done.
You know, my heart breaks for Steve Forbes and his kids up at East Tennessee State. Because he was saying, yeah, you know, I got a bunch of fifth-year guys who didn't get a chance, and they had a great season, and they didn't get a chance to play in the tournament this year. What's different, Stanley, about playing in these NCAA games versus those regular season games and even a power league like the Southeastern Conference? Because you can, even rewatching this thing, you can feel the pressure. What's different about it? Is it different?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, people could say, yeah, it's just another game, but I think it's more than just another game. I think it just is a accumulation of everything that goes on through the course of the year. So during the season, you know, you play your preseason games and you're getting yourself ready until you get to your season opponents that you play in your conference, and then you go through that little season of playing your teams in your conference, and at that point, there's a big tournament at the end of it. It's a conference tournament where we're finding out who's the conference champion. And then from there, it's going into the NCAA tournament and just seeing where you're going to get seated in. I just think every game is a game, but I think the magnitude of playing in the conference tournament, I think is a lot different from playing in your, just a regular game. And I think when you get to that, NCAA tournament and have a chance to play at this point, I think you throw out all the records and all the what you've done before that, because now it's just about who plays well on that given day. And it's just, you know, you win, you move on, you lose, you go home, versus, you know, in your conference, you play. Of course, you want to win all your games, but you lose, you still have time. You have time to, you know, get yourself back, you know, where you're trying to get to.
So, Matt and Brian, we're watching a sequence here with 9 minutes to go in the game, where both teams are going up and down the floor. They're turning the ball over. They're missing shots constantly. You can feel it tightening for both teams here, as Winthrop just took a lead on a layup, 58 to 56, in transition. You can feel the tightness of this game right now, guys.
Yeah, and with C.J. Watson not out there, Winthrop is scoring in transition off Tennessee misses and turnovers.
Yep.
They have some really quick guards who could beat Tennessee off the ball at times. And, you know, they were just really well coached. And, you know, they started pressing Tennessee when Watson went out,
mm-hmm.
Which was another really good coaching move. But, you know, Tennessee's got to kind of grind it. And I think they put Watson back in here really soon with maybe 7 minutes to go, because you almost had to. The game was kind of, you felt it was kind of slipping away a little bit, but, you know, Tennessee, you know, just responds like Pearl's teams do.
Stanley Assumno, nice enough to join us. We're watching Tennessee 58-56 with the lead. There's 8 minutes to go in the game. The Vols are rather trailing by two, and Stanley, at this point, as you got to be thinking to yourself, man, these guys need to go away.
Yeah, I mean, we want them to go away, but, you know, obviously they're not. They're a competitive ball club that truly believes that they belong on the same floor with us. And obviously it's a match. It's showing and displaying an exciting game. For us, it's one of those things where, you know, we're excited to still be a part of it. And like you said, it's one of those things now we're trying to grind it out. We're trying to grind out this win, but I think going through the SEC conference,
yes,
you know, all those tough games that we play, and some games you have to grind it out in the SEC conference, I think it prepared us for moments like these, you know, like an opportunity like this. I think the game is never lost, I mean, until unless you think it's over. You know, right now we're controlling the game, but we're just not pushing a little further than I know we can. And right now we're just kind of, you know, Winthrop is they're hanging around and they're making shots too. So it's not like, you know, we're just, you know, we're turning the ball over here and there every now and then, and we're making some bad decisions, but we're giving them opportunities to get themselves back in the game.
7:16 to go. C.J. Watson reinserted. The Vols were down two. There have been 9 ties in the game, 9 lead changes. Tennessee had the biggest lead in this one, 6. And I got to tell you, I don't remember this game being this much of a nail biter. I mean, this thing here, wow, they just had a call. They just had a foul called for swinging elbows. Boy, you don't see that called much. I'm going to tell you, this game here is, and you're on the floor right now with 7 minutes left. The lineup on the floor set it for us. You got Watson out there. You've got Bradshaw on the floor. Help me out, Bri. Who else is on the floor? Stanley's on the floor. Who else?
Patterson, Stanley's in the game. Andre Patterson and Stanley both in the game. And I think Wingate.
And Wingate's out there. Yep.
Stanley's got
a board. Stanley, you're really active in this ball game. You had a very good game in this one.
Yes, sir. Man, I had a good game. I was, you know, active, just being instinctive and just making the right plays and just, you know, making sure that I, you know, stay active within the game and stay within myself and do what I can do to help out my teammates and help out our team. And, you know, right now it's just trying to get a change of pace. You know, when we were coming in the game, it was more of just, can we change the pace of the game and, you know, get it back to Tennessee, our style of play. And the more active we are, I think the better we are. You know what I mean?
So we're 6.5 minutes left. It's a 2-point game at this point. And a 15-footer on the way. Wow, that is a really sweet shot. Who hit that, Matt?
Major Wingate.
Wow, you got glimpses from him as to why he was a 5-star player, didn't you, Stanley, from time to time?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, to be 6'10", he was about 6'10", maybe 6'11". He had an ability to, I mean, he can handle the basketball. He can, you know, he had very nice post moves. He had a good, nice jump shot, soft touch. I mean, there was a lot of glimpses. I mean, he just, you know, obviously, you know, I wish he could have, you know, been able to, be consistent, you know, but as far as, you know, obviously he still was a great, you know, person for our ball club. And, you know, he changed the game when he's locked in and when he's focused.
Brian Hartman, do you remember this game being this fantastic of a game?
I remember it being really almost like pulling teeth, and you were just, I was pretty much, had about 10 heart attacks here in the last 5 minutes or so, maybe the last 10 minutes.
I mean, this thing is wild.
We can't have the season we've had and be a 2 seed while Alabama is a 10 and they're beating Marquette. And Florida is running past their game. We can't have the season we have and then have Winthrop ended here.
And Stanley, I'm not blowing smoke at you, but you're all over the damn floor in this game. You just got another rebound.
Yeah, I mean, just being active, staying active, you know, doing what I can do for our ball club to keep us within the game. And, you know, it might not necessarily always show up in the scores columns, but there's so many other columns that you can always impact the game, you know, and that's, you know, rebounding, assists, you know, steals, you know, deflection, you know, anything that you can do, deflections, charge, whatever it is that you can do to bring, it's always winning basketball plays that can help you win a ball game.
And in a ball game like this, you have got to say, a 60-58 game, you have got to say in a ball game like this that the little things are what's going to help you get through a game like this one. Because you had one on a Saturday afternoon against Wichita State, similar game. You guys just could not. We took a bus trip there. I'm sitting there waiting. Okay, when's Chris going to hit the shot here? When are we going to get the couple shots to get us over the hump? And it was the same kind of thing. It was like pulling teeth. You guys, at this point, were just not playing your best basketball right here at this point.
Yes.
So here we are. It's 60-58. This is an insanely great game. Tennessee shot 47% from the floor. They've shot 42% from the floor. 3:50 to go. The Vols are winning by two, but Brian, this thing is going to be an absolute dogfight.
Yeah, if you told me they would shoot 47% from the floor, I'd feel really good about how the game would go. And right now, you're feeling anything but good. You're nervous. You're shaking. Your teeth are rattling. You can barely watch.
Man.
But Winthrop's been stuck on 58 points for like 4 or 5 minutes. So Tennessee really kind of clamped down defensively. And that, you know, Winthrop hits this three. And, you know, I don't know if y'all remember, but that's the last point Winthrop scored in the game. I mean, they scored three points in the final, like, 7 minutes. And Chris Lofton hasn't scored in the second half. Winthrop's defended him really well. And
there
his first basket in the second half is that game winner.
Wow.
Stanley. 91, 93, 97, 2001. Will it be 2006?
Yep, they keep showing the graphic because, Stanley, they're trying to make an example out of our volunteers here. And this thing is an absolute dogfight. Now, there's 3 minutes to go in the game, Stanley. What specifically, like in moments like this, how good was Pearl? Out of a timeout, drawing something up, what do you remember?
Well, I just remember his very, focused, locked in, delivering his message where we're able to, we hear and we understand him clearly of what he wants us to do. You could see everybody locked in, focused as well. It was one of those things where, he definitely got his message across.
This is an amazing game here, as now to the line goes a guy whose name we haven't mentioned today. But what about Dame Bradshaw and how he flourished under Bruce Pearl? And here he goes to the foul line.
Well, watch this free throw.
He just threw up a freaking air ball, Stanley.
Huh?
He just threw up an air ball. Stanley, what are we doing here from the foul line? Come on, Bradshaw, you're killing me.
Bradshaw, he was tired.
But he made the second.
He made the second.
Give him credit for bouncing back.
All right, Stanley, you're in the press right now. It's 61 all, 2:42, and as Matt says, they feel like they're trying to pull a boulder up a hill. We feel like we're trying to pull a boulder up a hill. And you just turn them over on the inbounds. Is that no? Or they get timeout. They keep having these damn fake timeouts.
they changed the rule after that this year.
This is bad right here because Tennessee just turned them over on a 5-second call, but they gave them the timeout. Stanley, that year and when you guys would press and all that stuff, by this point you had it down. How much fun is that? Turning people over.
It's extremely fun. I think that's what allowed us to keep, it's a fun style of play, and it allows you to get in the open court and to be athletic and to, it's so much fun because you're seeing the other team turn the ball over, and it's deflating on their side because they're turning it over. And if we can reward ourselves on the other end with a wood basket, it's helping us, in what we're trying to do. But the style of play was an all. I mean, it was a fun style of play. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I mean, it was, right up my alley of what, I wanted to do. And it's what I was doing, even when I was coming out of high school. That's the style we were playing, that up-tempo, fast pace, defend, get in you, turn you over.
Yeah.
And just be athletic and make plays, offensively.
Stanley, they had a forward just try to get a shot up over you. To say you were in his freaking grill, and they just turned the ball over. I mean, you guys are not letting them do anything though you can't do anything on offense yourselves, you're not letting them do anything offensively here at the end of this game. Anything.
Yeah, defensively we're locked in. You know, we're focused, we're priding ourselves in getting stops because that's what's going to help us, you know, be able to, you know, finish out this game and get a win. And, you know, we got to be able to stop them too, you know. So and hopefully that we are able to make that shot that gives us the go-ahead and, you know, obviously, you know, Chris Lofty hit a big shot.
Brian, we got to make a damn shot here, Bronny boy. Lofty misses a three ball. Oh, my gosh, this game is nerve-wracking. I know the result in this thing's scaring me.
I was thinking, please don't give me five more minutes of being this nervous. I couldn't have handled it if it had gone to overtime.
No, and we're at a listener watch party here in West Knoxville out of the late, great Michaels. This is a season for Tennessee that didn't start with any tremendous expectations. They had gotten used to, under Buzz Peterson, things not going their way. Certainly not winning games of this ilk. We just had a travel in the open court. Was that a walk-on Watson they called, or who was the walk-on?
Major Wingate dunked it. It's the way it ended, but it didn't count.
No, it was a walk-on Watson, I want to say.
Or foul for the shot or something.
No, it was a walk. We turned it over. So now there's 1:14 to go. Dixiecrat, you're right. This Winthrop team, as great as they are not scoring. They are just. And Stanley, you're on the floor the whole time here, and we're in lockdown mode.
Yeah, just digging deep, just finding ways to get some stops.
Here we go. They turn it over again. Wow. No, they took another timeout.
They called out.
52 seconds. Oh my gosh, I'm dying over here. All right, so Pearl during this timeout is saying, when we get the ball back, what are we going to do? Did they draw that play up for Lofton where he hits the shot here, or was this a freedom of movement shot, Stanley?
Yeah, no, we drew up a play to get Lofton a shot. I mean, I need to go back. I mean, obviously see, you know, how, I mean, if it came out the way we designed it. But obviously we got the ball to where it needed to get to, and Lofty makes a big shot.
Let's see what goes on here. They get it inbound.
Winter gets a good look out of this timeout.
There's 10 seconds left. It's 61 apiece, 48 to go in the game, 6 on the shot clock. The center, number 3, had a great look at a 3 ball. He was left wide open.
I don't think his feet were set, though.
But nope. He rushed it.
Oh, very good. He was wide open. That's good call, Bri. So here we go. 32 seconds now to go on the shot clock. Tennessee, if they want to, 6-second differential, and what'd they call? Here we go. Now we get a timeout. Now we get a timeout, Tennessee. It's a 20. So here we are. We're going to draw a play up for Chris Lofton. And if it wasn't going to be Lofton on this
not
shot.
Not here.
If it wasn't going to be Lofton, who's a decoy coming out of this timeout? Who
Which
else?
One are we at?
We're 21 seconds to go in the game here.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to get my computer to.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know what Tennessee called. They didn't really get a good look. I think Watson takes a 3 and he misses, and it's really interesting because. There's a long rebound and it gets tipped into the backcourt where Bradshaw gets it. And
okay,
you know,
I'm here.
Winthrop never had possession. I was wondering why it wasn't a backcourt violation, but you know, maybe there's some rule against it. It should have been because
here we are,
you know,
Stanley.
Tennessee missed the shot.
Here we are, Stanley. 21 seconds. Here we go.
Okay, that's where I'm at. Yeah, 21 seconds. 20.5. Yeah, I'm there.
So there's a ball thrown into the backcourt. Ooh, that could have been a backcourt. You're right, Matt. Thank God there's no replay. 5 seconds, 4 seconds, 1 second.
Pearl calls the timeout.
Pearl gets a timeout with 1.8, Stanley. All right, now right here, 1.8 to go.
Uh-huh.
You guys are all kind of looking at each other like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What's he call here?
So... we are in the huddle, and I know we are discussing and options of where we want to get the ball.
Yes.
To, and of course, Lofton was the option. And at that point, if Lofton doesn't, if he can't get it to Lofton, then of course CJ You know, we would then try to see if we can get him. But it's depending on the way the, you know, where we are and the way the play comes out and where we're aligned would determine, like, you know, who, where the second shot would come.
You know, and to this point in the second half, Lofton hasn't scored. Wingate's kind of been Tennessee's only offense this half. And I think I saw I heard a Lofton interview not too long ago where he talked about this play, and they run a screen for Andre Patterson, and I think there was a chance that he was going to be open, and that was, they were just going to lob it to him, but they kind of defended that well, and then they got it to Lofton.
Yeah, I mean obviously, it's a tie ball game, so anything to the rim is always good too. Because I mean, with a foul, we go to free throw line. So anything, you know, going to the rim and, you know, either catch and try to put it in, you never know, you can get pushed or fouled. But I mean, obviously, if they take that away, then of course it's going to give up something. So it was a great time for the ball to be in Lofton's hands to hit the big shot in the corner.
Hey, this is the part. This is the point in the game where we go. We have Chris Lofton and you don't. That's kind of the
exactly.
Because if there's a freaking guy, and they reset it with 2.9 seconds now to go, and this is both coaches kind of match whim for whim now. Now who draws it up? Does Shea draw this up? Does Pearl draw this up? Who comes up with the play?
Well, it's. When we're talking in there, Shea's in there talking.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, telling us some stuff. You can see in the huddle.
Yeah.
He's telling us, you know, whatever. So, of course, you know, that's the one thing with Coach Pearl allowed his assistants to also have, you know, a part in, you know, the offense and things that we do. But, of course, at the end of the day, Coach Pearl has the ultimate say, so whatever is going to happen. I just saw the shot. I think my computer's fast.
Yeah, you're a little ahead of us. That's okay. We're 61. Yeah. 61. Yeah. Describe to me what I'm about to see, since you just saw it. That's good. You can walk us through.
Okay.
Describe to me what I'm about to see.
So what we did, we set up the lob over the top for Andre Patterson.
Yes.
So going to the basket, because if he was open, you know, we can lob it, and he gets a quick two and score. And with the lob going, then we have Lofton coming off of a single screen over the top, leading him to the corner, coming off of Major Wingate. So, like, Lofton screens for Andre, and then Major screens for Lofton, gets him in the corner, and he hits a big shot. And that, that was great defense.
Great defense. The degree of difficulty on that, he's almost behind the backboard when he lets it go, isn't he? It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think falling down. Difficult shot we've seen from both teams in the last 5 minutes of the game, and it's the only one that went in.
Yeah, it's not even close. Yeah. Wow, what a big shot.
And now Winthrop gets this, and this is, I'd forgotten all about this, but they throw a pass that it goes off the backboard, and I think it actually is Stanley who touches it, but they don't start the clock, and Winthrop guy has like a 2 or 3 footer that would have tied it. Here on this inbounds play.
Stanley, do you remember this? They have you in at free safety here now. Do you remember the end sequence?
Yes. I'm in the, defensively, just trying to steal anything that can, or get my hand at least on the ball, because deflected away. I mean, obviously, with .4, they got to throw something towards the rim, so use my athleticism to deflect the ball or intercept it or knock it down. I mean, win the game.
And so, at this point, at the end of this thing, do you remember the sequence where you get your hands on the ball and the ball ends up in somebody else's hands and you're sitting there going, oh my God, please miss that?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing at the end there?
Yeah.
Please don't make it. I really don't want to, my life.
Stanley had touched it, so he thought the game was over because it should have been.
Let's see.
The clock didn't start.
There's barely enough time for a catch and shoot here.
Let's see here. Stanley's watching.
Watch this pass.
What?
I know, but do you see that the ball was... It was already over.
And number five's like, I got the ball. And they're going to let me get the shot off here.
It was already touched. That's why I thought the game was it was touched.
My gosh.
I mean, whoever was working that clock over there must have been going for Winthrop.
One of the greatest.
Yeah, you can see it. It's touched. And the clock never started. If you see it.
It's such a great. Yes. It. Yes. Look at that. Boom. There you go. There it is.
Exactly.
And shot really when he gets going anyway. Yeah. I mean, fell short.
That's so funny.
Yeah. He almost shot it like he knew it wasn't going to count.
Well, he shot it because he knew his .4 left, bro. Like a hot potato. He had to get it up. He's like, wow, the clock hadn't blown. I got to get this thing off the ground. Hey, Stanley, thank you so much. Give me a final thought here, man, as you sat with us today. Impromptu. We're basically today doing this. We're giving people an opportunity to have some sports in their life, a little bit of normalcy during this really abnormal COVID-19 time in our country where we're all in this together. You've always been such a class act through the years. Man, thank you so much for answering the bell for us today. You've really made this for us, you being here with us.
No, thank you. When I saw your message, I was in the backyard helping my grandmother with some stuff in her gardening, but then I came back in. Of course, I mean, an opportunity to just, you know, to get on the phone with you guys and obviously, you know, just give back of what my experience was at University of Tennessee and that experience of being a part of that NCAA tournament. You know, for me, it was a great experience. I appreciate you guys reaching out to me. And, you know, my goal is to hopefully, you know, I mean, I'd love to get back to Tennessee and hopefully, man, work with the basketball program and, you know, kind of get myself, you know, going back, you know, back over there, you know, that's my goal, you know, hopefully to get back over there.
That's awesome. Let us know how we can assist. I'll tell you what, I'll reach out to you, man.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. You know, that's been one of the things that I've definitely, you know, is getting back, going, you know, getting back to, you know, where I went to school and giving back and, you know, just, you know, being a part of the basketball program and, you know, working my way up. You know, obviously coaching is an aspiration of, you know, thing that, you know, of mine that I enjoy doing and, you know, just working with, you know, kids and developing and, you know, learning the game and growing the game as much as possible. But, you know, what a great way would it be just to be able to go back to the school where you graduated from and play, you know. I mean, for me, I think that would be an awesome, you know, experience, you know, for me.
Stanley, thank you for being with us today. I'll be in touch with you, man, for sure.
For sure. No, for sure. No, definitely. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. The great Stanley Assumno. That is, Bri, great job getting him. Fellas, any final thoughts here on the way out as the Vols win the game 63-61? It was like pulling teeth. How fun was that to have him on with us and have him recollect, fellas?
I thought it was great because he actually made some really big plays in that game. He was a key part in the second half of Tennessee staying, you know, within it when they couldn't score when Watson was out. He played a big role in this game.
I don't think they win without him. He brought some energy in the second half.
And he really scored those,
you know, he let it. He actually had a personal 4-0 run. I think Bradshaw tipped in the miss, but I mean, it led to 2 points. And then he did slam the next one down the court where he stole and got the hoop. So that gave Tennessee a 3-point lead when they were down by one. And I think it was just enough to push them over the top.
Some exciting stuff, fellas. It was great. Guys.
Yeah.
To both of you. Go ahead, Matt.
They lose the next game to Wichita State, which was unfortunate, but it was another game like this one where it was a, you know, like a tie or one score game with about 3 minutes to go and Tennessee just couldn't make any shots, which it was a really disappointing end to this season. But you know, still it was a great year. That unexpected success is so fun. And that's what this team was.
Yep.
You know, this was CJ Watson's last game and Patterson's last game, Stanley's last game, and unfortunately, I think it wound up, you know, this was Wingate's last year too, because he got kicked off the team in the offseason. But there was still a lot of excitement around the program. They brought in a really good recruiting class with Wayne Chisholm and then Ramar Smith and Duke Cruz. But you had Lofton and Juwan back and Bradshaw. This was the year that George Mason went to the Final Four out of this bracket, which is really frustrating looking back on it.
Oh, wow. You know what I remember, fellas?
But you had hope, though.
You know what I remember, fellas? Is I remember that year, and I was reminded by a friend of mine, but now that you go back, it was a year that started out so strangely. Jameer Hendricks got kicked off the team in the fall. Do you guys remember that? And he stood in the student section with a sign that said, Coach Pearl, please take me back.
Yeah, he got into a fight with Daniel Brooks, I think.
Nice. Brian,
and Andre
Patterson
was also suspended, I believe, for a few games before he got let back on. But Jameer Hendricks was permanently dismissed and never got back, never got that second chance.
That was a lot of fun today. Fellas, thank you to both of you for being with us. Great times. Thank you, guys.
I enjoyed it any time. These are so much fun to do, especially when we can get a former player or coach on.
Yep, we'll do it again next Tuesday. Great times, great oldies. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
As once again, I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you have been enjoying and listening to another action-packed edition. It's our rewatch party. We took you back to March 16th, 2006, Tennessee beats Winthrop. The final score 63-61 in the NCAA tournament. The Vols will go on in the next round, and they will face Wichita State. A word about that. I took a 56-passenger bus full of Tennessee fans to the next round. We were there in Greensboro that next day. It was a day and a weekend that I'll never forget. It was tremendously fun. That basketball team will always be in my heart and in my soul, and they'll always matter to me. And if you enjoyed pieces of today's program and you would like to leave us a tip for the extra work, please do so. You can go to TonyBasilio.com, leave us a few bucks. And I'll tell you, we love doing this with you. We love doing it for you. We love how it brings us together. I cannot wait for sports to come on back. But in the meantime, we're going to be here for you. We are going to be here for you every step of the way. That is the vow I make to you. We will be with you. With you. Every step of the way. In the meantime, we love you. God bless. Go Vols. And we'll do it again next Tuesday, right here in this slot. Rewatch!